Uyraysa.
Today's Amud is Sukkah Lamin Aleph Amin Aleph. We're holding on the top of Lamin Aleph Amin Aleph, the second line from the top. So says the Gemara, we're still in the middle of discussing this Lulav HaGazel that the Mishnah spoke about. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, we learned in the Braisa, Sukkah Gzula, if you have a stolen Sukkah, we'll discuss shortly what exactly that means, how exactly the Sukkah was stolen. But if you have a stolen Sukkah, or V'hamisachech B'rishus HaRabim, one who builds, he constructs his own Sukkah, it's his own materials, everything is his, but he does it in Rishus HaRabim. He does it over the sidewalk without permission from the city or whatever it is, and there's no assumed permission. So it's a stolen sukkah. In such a case, Rabbi Eliezer Paisel, the Chachamim Machshirin. So in such a case, Rabbi Eliezer says it's Pasel, and the Chachamim say it's Kosher. Machoikas Tanayim, Rabbi Eliezer says Pasel, Chachamim say it's Kosher. Amrev Nachma. Rav Nachman explains that machlokes b'shetoykeif es chaveroi v'itzioi misukasoi. The machlokes, when we discuss a sukkah gzula, when the Braisa speaks about a sukkah gzula, it's talking about where a person, he goes up to his friend in the sukkah, and he physically grabs him out, and he takes over his sukkah. He conquers his sukkah. In such a case, Rabbi Eliezer l'tameh, Rabbi Eliezer, who says that it's possible, he's l'shitasoi, the Amar, because Rabbi Eliezer darshins, that the Adam, that ain't Adam Yaitse Yidei Chayvasoi Besukasa Shalchaveroi. He darshins from Chaga Sukkah Istasa Lecha that it has to be yours. You can't be Yaitse in your friend's Sukkah, even if it's borrowed, surely not if it's stolen. Even if it's borrowed, you can't be Yaitse the mitzvah in someone else's Sukkah. And therefore, Mimanifshach, such a Sukkah would be pasul. Says the Gemara, because e karka nigzeles, if you'll go like the man Damar who says that karka is nigzeles, so then Sukkah gzulahi. So then great, he took it over, but it's a Sukkah gzula, so it's not lecha, it's not his, it's his physically, it's owned by him, but it's gazel, and therefore he's not yoytze the mitzvah. Vinami karka ain't a nigzeles, and even if you'll say that karka is not nigzeles, and therefore, let's say if something happens to the field, the one who stole it will not be responsible. Karka ain't a nigzeles, that's what it means. Even if you say that karka is not nigzeles, it doesn't become his at all. Still sukkah shu'ulihi. It's still a sukkah that's borrowed. It's borrowed without permission, but it's considered a sukkah that's borrowed, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that a sukkah that's borrowed is possible, because he holds chaga sukkah is tas is coming to be memayed both of sukkah that's stolen and the sukkah that's borrowed. However, the Rabbanan who say that such a sukkah is kosher, they're l'tamayu, they're l'shitasam, the Amri, they say, Adam yaitze yidei chayvasai b'sukasai shal chaveroi. The Rabbanan say that chag ha-sukkah is tasalcha just excludes a sukkah gzula. That's what we had earlier on Chavzayin HaMabes. The Rabbanan darshan chag ha-sukkah is tasalcha is just coming to be mamayit a sukkah gzula. But they had kol ezech b'Yisrael, they learned out from kol ezech b'Yisrael, that a person could be yaitze the mitzvah in someone else's sukkah. You could use a borrowed sukkah for the mitzvah of sukkah. And therefore, there are Rabbanan who say that a sukkah gzula, that if a person takes his friend physically out of the sukkah, that he's yaitze the mitzvah, that the sukkah is kosher, they're l'shitasam, that they say you could be yaitze in a sukkah sheula, v'karka in a nigzelas, and they hold that karka is not stolen, karka is not nigzelas, and even the walls and the schach, which is technically not karka, so Rashi on the top of the Amud says that that's bottled to the karka, being that it's attached to the karka, so it's bottled to the karka. So therefore, this whole sukkah, we don't view it as being stolen. Rather, sukkah she'ulahi, says the Gemara. Rather, we look at it like it's a sukkah that's just borrowed. It's borrowed without permission, but that's called borrowed. That's called borrowed because it's karka. And therefore, the Chachamim say it's kosher. So says Rav Nachman, the Machlaikas, Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim is talking about where a person took his friend out of the sukkah and conquered the sukkah. In such a case, Rabbi Eliezer who holds you're not Yaitse, it's because me manifshach you're not Yaitse. Either it's karka's nigzelas and it's a sukkah gzula, karka's in a nigzelas and it's a sukkah sheula, either way you're not Yaitse. The Rabbanan hold karka's not nigzelas and it's only a sukkah sheula, and they hold that a sukkah sheula is kosher. So the machlekes is l'shitasam. However, says Rav Nachman, Aval Gazal ate him, but if a person stole the actual schach, he stole the wood for the schach, v'sikich behen, and then he used that wood as the schach, so then, divrei hakol, ein lo ela demei etzim. So then, in such a case, everybody, even Rabbi Eliezer, everybody holds that such a sukkah is kosher, and the nigzal, the one who is stolen from, all he gets is the value of the wood. If Reuven stole from Shimon, and he took Shimon's etzim and he put it into his sukkah as his schach. The halacha is that Reuven stole from Shimon. It's metalklin, avad, it's stolen, and he has to pay back Shimon, but he doesn't have to, even though normally a person has to pay back the thing he stole. In such a case, Reuven does not have to pay back Shimon the actual etzim. He just has to pay back the value of the etzim. So regarding Hilchos Gazel, it is Reuven's, because he was kind of the shinoi ma'isa, the shinoi shame. He put it into the sukkah. It also has a shinoi shame because originally it was wood, now it's schach. So regards to lachem, regards to tasa lecha, it says, and with regards to the fact that he has to return it, so that Rashi brings, there's a special takana called takanas hashavim. That Chazal saw that if a person would steal wood and he would, let's say, build it into his house, so if he would have to return the actual wood, you would end up sort of stopping a lot of people from doing tshuva. Because if this person stole wood and now it's in the middle of his house, for him to have to return those actual pieces of wood, he's going to have to knock down his whole house. And a lot of people wouldn't be able to overcome such a nisayon, to have to knock down his whole house to return the wood. So therefore, the Chazal came up with a takana called takanas hashavim, to help people do tshuva. And they said that in such a case, a person doesn't have to return the actual wood, he just has to pay back the value of the wood. So therefore now, back to our sugya, Rav Nachman is saying that everybody would agree that if a person stole the wood for the schach, and then he built it into a sukkah, he put it as the schach, so then everybody would agree that the sukkah is kosher, because in such a case, it belongs now to Reuven halachically, and he doesn't have to return it because of this takana of takanas hashavim. And therefore, everybody would agree that if in such a case of a sukkah gzula, everybody would agree that the case is that it's kosher. Says the Gemara Mimai, how does Rav Nachman know to say that? I saw the Kapos Tamarim explains that really maybe the Machlokes is even if you stole the Eitzim. Ah, there's the Kanas HaShavim, so why would Rabbi Eliezer say that the Sukkah is Pasul? What happened to the Kanas HaShavim? The Gemara means to be asking that maybe we're talking about a case where you stole the wood, and ah, the Kanas HaShavim, Rabbi Eliezer holds the Kanas HaShavim was only said about a house, about a Diras Keva, because a person wouldn't knocked down is Diras Keva, and therefore the Rabbana made Takanas HaShavim. But maybe by a sukkah, which is just a Diras Arai, so maybe Rabbi Eliezer is Mechalik between a Diras Keva and a Diras Arai, and by a Diras Arai, Rabbi Eliezer holds that there is no Takanas HaShavim. So how does Rav Nachman know to say that in such a case everybody's maskim? And really the whole Machlaikis is Dafka talking about a case where Reuven conquered Shimon's sukkah. Maybe it's talking about where he stole the wood, and the Machlaikis is whether or not Takanas HaShavim applies to Diras Arai. The Rebbe Eliezer holds that it does not apply and it's possible, and the Chachamim say it does apply and it's kosher. So how does Rav Nachman know to say that the Machlokes is Dafka where he conquered the actual Sukkah? Says the Gemara, he had a diak in the Braisa. Midikatani dumya derishas harabim. Because the Braisa says two cases. It says a Sukkah gzula, and then it also talks about a case of a person who's misakech berishas harabim. He builds his Sukkah in the rishas harabim. So therefore, if Nachman was medayik, that the case of Sukkah Gzula is Dumya Dereshus Harabim, it's similar to the case of the person who built his sukkah in the Rishus HaRabim. Ma Rishus HaRabim karka lavdi dehu. Just like in the case of the Rishus HaRabim, we're talking about a case where the karka isn't yours. We're talking about a case where the karka isn't his. Lavdi dehu. So sukkah nami, lav karka di dehu. So this case of the sukkah gzula, Rav Nachman reasoned, is also talking about such a case where the karka is not his. It's not talking about a case where a person stole the wood and built it into his own sukkah on his own property, in his own backyard, or on his own roof. Rather, we're talking about a case where a person stole someone else's, he's conquered someone else's sukkah. He, so to speak, stole his karka, even if karka in an exalus, but that's the physical thing that he did, dumya to the case of the Rishus HaRabim. So that's how Rav Nachman to say that the case is dafka, talking about the case where a person conquers someone else's sukkah, but the halacha is, in the case where a person stole someone else's wood, and he builds it into his sukkah, so that we have to kanas hashavim, he doesn't have to return it, and the sukkah is kosher. Says the Gemara on that note, that he sapta, there was a certain older lady, the Asai Lukamed Rav Nachman, she came in front of Rav Nachman, and Amrale, and she said to Rav Nachman, Reish Galusa, Vakulu Rabbanon, the Bay Reish Galusa, the Reish Galusa, and all the Rabbanon that are in the house of the Reish Galusa, the Sukkah Gzula Havu Yatsvi. They're sitting in a stolen Sukkah. They stole my wood, they built it into their Sukkah, and therefore she complained that they're all sitting in a stolen Sukkah. However, she kept screaming, and Rav Nachman didn't really pay much attention to her. He wasn't maskim to her taina. So Amrulay, so she said to Rav Nachman, Issa, a lady, a woman, the Havale La'avua that her father had, Tlas Mea V'Tamnisrei Avde, 300 and Tamnisrei and 18 Avadim, referring to her great-great-great-grandfather, Avram Avinu, who had 318 Avadim, Tzavcha Kamaichu, I'm a Jewish lady, and I'm screaming in front of you, V'lu Ashkachisuba, and you don't pay attention to her, you're not paying attention to me. So Amar Lahu, Sir of Nachman, said to them, he said to the people around him, and seemingly to his Talmidim, Amar Lahu Rav Nachman, Pa'isa Hida, that this lady is just a screamer, Ve'en La Ela Deme Eitzim Belvash. She doesn't really have a taina. Chazal already made a takana sashavim, and therefore they don't have to return the wood. They're not sitting in a stolen sukkah. The sukkah is considered theirs, takana sashavim. Perhaps maybe it works midin hefker bezdin hefker. And therefore, it's considered theirs, it's their sukkah, and therefore she's screaming, she doesn't really have a taina, they don't have to return the wood, they only have to pay back the money, but they don't have to return the wood. Amar Ravina, says the Gemara, Ravina said, that hai kishura dimitalalta digzula, if you have a beam of a sukkah that's stolen, so a beam is much more chashuv than just the pieces of wood, this is an actual beam, if a person has a stolen beam in his sukkah, avdi le rabbanan takanta mishum takana smarish, so the rabbanan made this takana of takana smarish, this takana of takana sashavim, they made this takana, and therefore the person's yaitzi the mitzvah, even if he has a stolen beam inside of his sukkah. Frakta Gemara Pshita, Maishnami Eitzim, why would I think that this is any different than having stolen wood? Why would I think having a stolen beam is different than stolen wood? It's the same idea. Takanas Hashavim. Says the Gemara, Ma'udetema, I could have thought to say that Eitzim Shchichi, that maybe the Rabbanan only made Takanas Hashavim by wood, because wood is something that's easily replaceable. It's very common. And therefore, there's no need to have to return the actual wood. It's not, making the nigzal lose too much. If the gazlan will give back the money, the value of the wood, so the nigzal could just go ahead and go buy new wood. Wood is very shchichi. Since it's not such a loss, maybe dafka by wood, the rabbanan made takanas hashavim. Aval hai, but when it comes to this, to a beam, loy shchicha, where it's less common, so therefore aim aloy, maybe the rabbanan didn't institute in such a case takanas hashavim, and they said that enachanami, you have to knock down your house and return the beam, kamash malon, then no, even by a beam, we have a takana of takana sashavim. However, now says the Gemara, that hani mili begoy shiva. All of this is dafka during the 7 days of Sukkot. That's when we say all you have to pay back is the value. You're not going to have to knock down the sukkah. Avolabas or shiva. However, if Sukkot is over already, so then hadar be'ene, so then you have to knock down the sukkah and return the actual wood, return the actual beam, because then there's no need for the, there is no need for the takanas hashavim anymore, because Sukkot is over anyways. You don't need it. You'll be knocking it down. You could knock it down easily. Anyways, v'i chibrei betina and enachanami. If it's difficult to knock it down because chibrei betina, he attached it with cement, and that, so it's going to be hard to remove it. So then enachanami, then afilu la'acha shiva nami yahiv le'demei. So then even if it's after the 7 days of Sukkot, so then all I have to do is pay back the value because enachanami. In such a case, it will be difficult to knock it down, and therefore we have a takanas hashavim that he doesn't have to return the wood; he just has to return the value. It comes out that this case of stolen wood, everybody agrees, is not a case of Sukkah Gzula. The case where Reuven conquers Shimon's Sukkah, he takes over the actual Sukkah, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, that is considered a Sukkah Gzula and it's possible. The Chachamim say, Karka in a Nigzelas, and it's not a case of a Sukkah Gzula. The Kasha is that the Rabbanan do have a Drasha, Chaga Sukkah is Tasilcha, Lemu'ute Gzula. So according to the Chachamim, if Karka is in a Nigzelas, and so that's that's not a case of a sukkah gzula. If Reuven takes over and conquers Shimon's sukkah, that's not a case of a sukkah gzula because karka is not nigzelas. And if you steal wood, the halacha is that it's not a sukkah gzula because we have tikkunas hashavim and it doesn't. You don't even have to return it. So then, what is the case of sukkah gzula according to the chachamim? That's Rashi's kasha. According to the Chachamim, where do we ever have a case of a sukkah gzula? Says Rashi that according to the Chachamim, the only case that we'll have of a sukkah gzula will be a case if a person steals a sukkah that's on top of a wagon or on top of a boat, something that's not attached to the ground. So then, if you conquer it, if you take over the wagon, let's say you have a sukkah on a truck, then if a person takes over the sukkah, that would be, according to the Chachamim, the only way you'll have an actual sukkah gzula. Says the Gemara Vayter. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. So now we're moving on to the next case of the Mishnah. We discuss now a sukkah, a lulav hagazel. Now says the Braisa, Yavish Pasal. We mentioned in the Mishnah, the Braisa is going to elaborate on this din, that we mentioned in the Mishnah that a lulav, which is Yavish, a lulav, which is dried out, so a lulav hayavish is Pasal. Now, most Rishonim learn that lulav hayavish is when it turns white. A lulav that gets very old, sometimes it happens already by Pesach time and you want to burn it with the chametz, the lulav turns white. So once the lulav turns white, a shaila, how much of the lulav? Is it all the leaves, or at least the majority of the leaves, of the total of the leaves of the lulav? Is it talu in the tioimes, the middle leaf of the lulav? Machlokes Rishonim, but in terms of what's considered yavish, so most Rishonim learn that yavish means when the lulav turns white. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafresh Mem Hei, Sif Hei, that lulav ha-yavish is when the lulav turns white. However, Taisis on Chavtesim Abbeis, so Taisis over there, by Dibra Maslow, lulav yavish, pasul, Taisis proves that no, lulav ha-yavish is when it's so yavish, it's so dried out, that when you touch it, it will crumble. It literally crumbles to the touch. That's the definition of a lulav ha-yavish, which is obviously a much more lenient shear. A lulav that's so old that when you touch it, it starts to crumble, is going to have to be very, very, very old. A lulav turns white much faster than it will start to crumble. And Lamaisa, the Ramah brings Taisis la'alacha. The Ramah, after the Shulchan Aruch, brings Dashit of most Rishonim, that a lulav yavish means that it turns white. So the Ramah, continuing in Siman Tafresh Mem Hei Sif Hei, he says that no, yesh aimrim deloy mikri yavish, it's not called yavish, alakish and isparich b'tzipayrin machmas yavish usay. It's only once it crumbles to the touch. That's considered yavish. And says the Ramah, v'cheinayagin b'bedinais elu. And that's the minug in our cities. However, the Ramah says, that's the minug in our cities, she'en lulavim mitsuyen. That's the minug in our cities, because we don't have a lot of lulavim. So the Taz already points out that it's mashra from the Ramah, that he was only paskening like Taisis, because of the need. Because there was not so many lulavim, so they were makel like Taisis. And therefore, he says that if a person has options, so then avada, then we have to assume, like most Rishonim, that a lulav hayavish is even if it just turns white. And even if it just turns white, that's already considered a lulav hayavish. So anyways, now says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, now we know what we're talking about, a yavish, a lulav, which is dried out. So the Mishnah says it's possible once it's dried out, again, each shita, kafi, whatever they hold, assuming, let's say, we go that it's all white. Once it's all white, so then it's possible. That's what we said in the Mishnah. Now says the Braisa, Rabbi Huda Machshir, our Mishnah, we just have one shita, we just say lulav hayavish is possible. The Braisa brings an extension to this din of the Mishnah, and it brings more details, and it says that Rabbi Huda is taka chaylik on the din of the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda holds that the dried out lulav is kosher. Amar Rava, Rava explains that machlaik is belulav. This machlaik is about whether or not one could use a dried out lulav, which is one of the arba minim, is specifically by lulav. Specifically by lulav, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if it's dried out, it's kosher. What's the machlekes? The Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, makshin on lulav l'esrog, that we compare lulav to esrog. Ma esrog bay hadar, af lulav bay hadar. Just like an esrog needs to be mehudar, and it can't be dried out, so to a lulav can't be dried out. Rabbi Huda Savar, loy makshin on lulav l'esrog, whereas Rabbi Huda says that no, we don't learn out lulav from esrog. and therefore it's dafka by esrog. Aval, but esrog divrei hakol hadar beinan. Everybody holds by esrog and needs to be hadar. So again, just to give a drop of background, the pasuk says ulkachtam lechem b'yom harishon preates hadar. It says it preates hadar. So the word hadar, the drasha of hadar, is said specifically by the esrog. It says ulkachtam lechem b'yom harishon preates hadar. So hadar was said really by the esrog. The shaila is, do we now learn out from esrog to lulav? So an esrog for sure has to be hadar. That's what Rav is explaining. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that an esrog cannot be dried out. It has to look nice. It has to be hadar. It has to be beautiful. The shaila is should we learn out lulav from esrog? The Chachamim say, the Tanakhama says that we learn out lulav from esrog. Just like an esrog has to be beautiful, it has to be hadar. So too the lulav has to be beautiful, it can't be dried out. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, we don't learn out lulav from esrog, he doesn't have such a hekesh, and therefore a lulav could be dried out. It's dafka an esrog which can't be dried out because by an esrog it says hadar. Either way, it comes out from the Gemara that it seems from the Gemara over here that the psul of Yavesh is because of Hadar. That the psul of Yavesh is because of Hadar, which seems to be not like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi over here says that the reason that the makar for a lulav Yavesh that's pasul, or an esrog Yavesh that's pasul, is based on the pasul gloi hamesim yahaleluka. That those that are not alive anymore, those that are not alive, they can't praise Hashem. Gloi hamesim yahaleluka. And so seemingly a lulav, an esrog, which is Yavesh, something once it's dried out, so then it's considered like a mace. It's dried, especially like if you go like most Rishayim, it turns all white, it's mamish like a mace, so leha mesim yahaleluka, they can't be the ones to perform the mitzvah to praise Hashem. That's what the Yerushalmi says is the makar. The Ritvan, Chavtasim Abay, says that the Yerushalmi is just speaking derech tzachos. It doesn't really mean it literally. Sometimes the Yerushalmi, he says, brings like these types of ramazim, but I've added the Yerushalmi's maskim to the Bavli, that the actual makar, that a lulav hayavish is possible, is really because of hadar. So the Gemara Rav is saying that even though Rabbi Yehuda is chaylik, when it comes to lulav, he says that a lulav is allowed to be yavish, it's dafka by lulav because he doesn't have the hekesh. But by esrog, everybody would agree that it has to be hadar. Says the Gemara now weiter, ubelulav leibay Rabbi Yehuda hadar. Is that really true? That Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require hadar when it comes to a lulav? He doesn't have such a hekesh? Vatanan, but we learned in the Mishnah, it says, our Mishnah on Chavtasim Abeis, when it spoke about nifridu alav, that the leaves branch outwards, so the Mishnah over there says that Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher, however he says, yagdenu milamala, you have to tie it together. It can't be that the leaves are all branching outwards. It has to be, you have to tie it together. It has to look nice. So my taima, why does he say that you have to tie it together? Lav mishum debay hadar. Isn't it because he wants it to look nice? He wants it to look beautiful. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda also holds of hadar when it comes to lulav. So how could you tell me that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda passed, that the reason why he's machsher yavish when it comes to lulav is because he doesn't hold of hadar when it comes to lulav? We see from our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of hadar. L'chayre, that's the reason why he says that when you have a lulav, which was nifridu alav, that the leaves branch outwards, so you have to tie it together to make it look nice. The chayre, that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda. So you see that he does hold of hadar, even when it comes to lulav. Says the Gemara, no, that's not because of hadar. Why? Rather, kidikatani taima, that's like we have, Rabbi Yehuda already explained his reasoning. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda aimer, Rabbi Yehuda says that the reason why you have to tie it together, Rabbi Yehuda aimer, Mishum Rabbi Tarfun, it's because the pasuk says, kapos tamarim. So we darshan from there, kafos, that it has to be tied up. V'mhaya parud, yichpesenu. That even if the leaves start to become parud, if they start to branch outwards, so yichpesenu, you have to tie it together. So Rabbi Yehuda says this not because of the fact that it has to look beautiful. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav does not need to look beautiful. Rather, I mean, maybe there'll always be zakeli van veyu, but nothing surely that's ma'akev. It doesn't have to be hadar. Rather, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda requires a person, he requires that the lulav has to be tied up together, is because he has a drasha from kapos tamarim, that if the leaves branch outwards, you have to tie it together, not because of hadar. Says the Gemara still, V'loi ba'i hadar. Is that really true that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require hadar when it comes to lulav? V'atanam, but we learned in the Mishnah that ain oigdin as a lulav, ela b'minoi, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you tie together the lulav with the hadasim and the aravis, so you have to use something that's from the min of the minim. So seemingly it's because he wants it to be the same color. My taima, why does he care for it to be the same min? Why does he want it to be the same color? Lav mishum debay hadar? Isn't it because he wants it to be that it's all the same color, that it should look beautiful, so therefore you should use the same min? Isn't that the reason? So you see, Rabbi Yehuda does require hadar by a lulav. Says the Gemara, no, the reason why he requires the same min is not because he wants it to be color-coordinated. Rather, the Ha'amai Rava, well, it's not because of that. Rather, the Ha'amai Rava, afilu besiv, afilu bekor de dikla. I'll first of all prove it to you that that's not the reason for Rabbi Yehuda. The reason for Rabbi Yehuda is definitely not because he wants it to be color-coordinated. And the Raya is because Rava said, afilu siv, afilu bekor de dikla, that you could use other parts of the palm tree, other parts of these minim. Siv is ivy, ikra de dikla is some of the bark of the tree. You could use these things even though they're a different color. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda was just makpid that it should be the same min, not because he wanted it to be color coordinated, because he even said you could use other parts that are not the same color. So why does he dafka want it to be the same min? Not that it should look beautiful. Ella, my time in Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Hasam de kasavar. Awesome. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Over there is the kasavar, because he holds that lulav tzarech eged. It's because he holds that an eged is an integral part of the mitzvah. Lulav tzarech eged. The eged is an integral part of the mitzvah, and therefore, since the eged is an integral part of the mitzvah, v'maisa mina achrina, if you use another min to tie together the arba minim, havluhu chamisha minin. It's going to come out that when you're holding everything all together, you have five minim, and we're supposed to take arba minim. And but if you have, being that the eged is an integral part of the mitzvah, if you use another min, it's like adding another min to the mitzvah. That's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you're ma'agid it, you have to use the same min. It's that you shouldn't be oyer from a bal taisef and taking a fifth min. It's not because he cares for it to be color coordinated, because like we said before, Rabbi Yehuda does not require hadar when it comes to lulav. It's dafka by esrig that needs to be hadar, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that we don't learn out Lula from Astrog.